Diogenes Laertius tells us in the Lives that Chilon, son of Domagetes, was a Lacedaemonian, that is to say, a Spartan. He wrote a poem in elegiac meter some 200 lines in length, and he declared that the excellence of a man is to divine the future so far as it can be grasped by reason. When his brother grumbled that he was not made an ephor, as Chilon was, the latter replied, "I know how to submit to injustice, and you do not." He was made an ephor in the 55th Olympiad.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, don't know. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs, or ands, or buts.
Chilon, Los Angeles, 1982. What made him quiet and humble, what kept the hair on his head soot black and thick as shag for as long as the 80 years that he lived, I think no science can tell. Oh, yes, there may be an explanation, but this is not the reason. You may find a cause, but you cannot know its basis in the scheme of things. He had a good childhood, you might say that. But it was the childhood that he shared with a twin whom no one knew, and who never left him alone and gave him no peace and quiet all of his life. How different can he be to this twin? I mean, his body was the same, his mind the same, only that he looked out from another set of two apparently identical eyes, should he be different. Yet his twin was his true and entire opposite, reversed as in a mirror, and poles apart. His twin was angry where he was calm, his twin haughty where he deferred, his twin cruel where he was kind, and his twin spoke what he did not, and whereas the other was grandiloquent and gesticulated, he was as plain as blank paper with his words, and never gestured nor raised his voice. I do not think that, in fact, he said any of the wise things that they said he said. They were things that he might have said, should he have spoken, but he was so quiet, so humble, as I have said, that I expect you might have known him, seen him often, yet should never have seen him or heard him to speak. But you would certainly agree that he probably said the things that people said he said. These words are thoughts you'd have thought he thought. Thoughts such as these: let no one see you hurry. Be restful. Do not speak evil of others. Prefer punishment to disgraceful gain, for the one is painful to you only once, but the other for your whole life. Do not laugh at a person in misfortune. Do not desire what is impossible. Those who knew him remember these words as if he had actually spoken them, as I say, but I do not think that he ever did. If anyone said these things, it may have been his twin. But if he said them all ironically. In 1902, he was born. From birth, he and his twin were inseparable, forever together. They always played together. They always slept together. They always ate together. In that year, the first movie theater in America opened in Los Angeles, the Electric Theater. At that time, it only seated 7 adults, and admission cost a nickel. With a cooperative municipal service, his parents were given the opportunity to install electricity in their home in that same year. They did not replace the gas, which emitted lamplight by apertures upon the walls. The electricity they installed was solely employed to power an electric fan, into the blades of which he once stuck his fingers and crippled them, and by necessity became left-handed. In 1912, when he was 10 years of age, an unsinkable ocean liner sank among ice floes in the North Atlantic, and most of its passengers drowned. And although inseparable, he and his twin ceased to speak to one another. While he heard what his twin said, he began his lifelong habit of ignoring him. Or rather, more correctly, to put it so, he began his habit of quietly observing him. His twin did not cease to talk to him, however, and began habitually to criticize him. They played separately, though they were always together. At this age, he began to think silently what he wished to say, and he began to find that people knew what he thought without having to speak what he thought, and so he began his lifelong habit of speaking very little. In the following year, his parents obtained an electric refrigerator in which they kept the bottled milk and cream, which was delivered to their home before he woke up each morning. In 1922, he took his own apartment in Redondo Beach, near where he had been sent to college, and he would never thereafter return to live with his parents. His twin came to live with him. He still did not acknowledge it with any spoken word. He purchased a radio and listened in the evenings when broadcasts issued. He heard the president give the first broadcast of a public address on this same radio. He and his twin saw the movie Nosferatu at the Electric Theater, and the movie became an obsession of his twin, who talked about it incessantly. The twin began to imitate the stalking of the Nosferatu, the staggering and leering of the monster, intending this to annoy him, and it became another compulsive habit of his twin that he ignored. The grizzly bear became extinct in the state, although it was not known at the time. That summer, he took the 20th Century Limited to New York City and obtained passage by an ocean liner to France. His twin accompanied him. While he was in Paris, Mussolini led his brown shirts to a democratic victory in Italian elections. In Paris, at the Shakespeare and Company bookstore, 8 Rue Dupuytren, in the 6th arrondissement, he found and purchased a first edition of Ulysses by James Joyce, a book bound in sky blue cloth. He read it at once. He read it every summer thereafter, every year of his life. His twin mocked the book and mocked him for reading it. The twin quoted the book to mock him. Smells of men, his gorge rose, spat on, sawdust, sweetish, warmish, cigarette smoke, reek of plug, spilt beer, men's beery piss, the stale of ferment. This he quoted from memory, out loud in bars to embarrass him when he went for companionship and to appear to be a manly common male. Or also in the urinal, after several beers, tottering on the balls of his feet as the two of them pissed, wetting his brother's shoes carelessly, he mocked with a slurry speech. Was he insulting you while me and him was having a piss? Piss always said like this. Piss. The twin mocked him. Then whenever he peed drunk, the twin claiming to have the stronger stream, Kench, my brother, brother, the strong stream of life belongs to me, not thee, said he. In 1932, he liked to listen to Jack Benny on radio. The Bonus Army rioted at the Anacostia Flats, and the future hero of the crusade to save Christendom attacked the veterans of the war to win all wars on horseback, striking them savagely with his riding crop. He began smoking fine, firm, white cigarettes that were impeccably manufactured and packaged by industrial automation, and used a stainless steel Zippo lighter to light them. Roosevelt was elected, and Hitler became a naturalized citizen of Germany. His father committed suicide. Unemployment rose to 33%. He inherited a fortune. No Nobel Peace Prize was awarded that year, but Heisenberg got the Physics Prize for his uncertainty principle. A solar eclipse occurred over North America, and he got married. His twin did not speak to him for several years, but continued to live unobtrusively with him and his wife. In 1942, the war was going badly for the United States. They lost their Japanese housekeeper, gardener, and cook because they were interned. In Denmark, Anne Frank began her diary. He and his wife went to the Electric Theater and saw the movie Casablanca. After the movie, they made love while the twin watched, and she was impregnated. When rationing began, she stopped making coffee, and he began a lifelong habit of drinking tea instead, which the twin mocked, saying it had the color of pea got nasty. Left too long in the chamber pot, said he. When I makes tea, I makes tea, as old Mother Grogan said, and when I makes water, mocked the twin. Begob, God send you don't make them in the same pot. Lions became extinct in Iran. His son was born on Christmas Day. In 1952, there was a sudden snowfall in Algeria. A Nazi immigrant to America declared on television, "Man will conquer space soon." The diary of Anne Frank was posthumously published. At this time, he founded an international organization for nuclear disarmament, under the honorary chairmanship of Albert Schweitzer, who that year had received the Nobel Peace Prize. His face appeared on the cover of Time magazine along with Schweitzer's. He was investigated by the House Un-American Activities Committee. His twin testified secretly against him. In 1962, on February the 4th, during a moon and a solar eclipse, an extremely rare conjunction of the five planets on the same ecliptic occurred. Taken in totality, a grand conjunction of Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, with the Earth, thus poised at the exact moment of a new moon, that is to say, no moon, and a solar eclipse. Comprising eight celestial bodies in total celestial alignment, as if resonant in cosmic harmony, from a certain point of view. And on that day, his wife died unexpectedly. He reconsidered his lifelong denial of his Roman Catholic faith. Adolf Eichmann was hanged. Several Boeing 707 airplanes crashed, killing all aboard. Smog choked London, and the world nearly came to a horrible end during the Cuban Missile Crisis. His twin repeatedly read ultra-violent passages of Clockwork Orange to him aloud while he tried to sleep. In 1972, he recanted his Catholic conversion. President Richard Nixon authorized a burglary of the offices of the chairman of the Democratic Party at the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C. At midnight on June 30th, a leap second was added. A day of 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 61 seconds. His son, recently divorced from his wife, abandoning his two young children, having also lost his job, called him on the telephone and told him that he had ruined his life, that he was emotionally frigid, and that he wanted to commit suicide but was afraid to die. A stampede of elephants killed 24 people in the Chandka Forest in India. In 1982, Time magazine's Man of the Year was the computer. Then, before he died, his son visited him in his hospital room and wept in sorrow for his father, begging him to forgive the things he had said to him. He died joyously in his son's arms. His twin died simultaneously.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doctor, I think that it's you instead, because I have got a thing that's unique and new. To prove it, I'll have the last laugh on you, cause instead of one head, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.